This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Alberto Tusca. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. What about you?
I'm not too bad. I've been sitting in this booth at Wine to Wine now for a few days, recording lots of podcasts, but enjoying it a lot. Tell me, you're a Sicilian producer from the winery Tusca. But one of the nice things about you guys is you've got vineyards all over the place. Do you want to tell us a bit about sort of maybe the... I wouldn't mind getting an understanding of just an overview of Sicily from a wine perspective.
Okay. So all the difference that we can find in all these estates has come from the history that all this kind of piece of land has that are natural history by the soil that generate, that create this, the soil and the land. And we have, as you know, in Sicily, we have Vulcan. We have active Vulcan. And
here Mount Etna.
Like Etna and Stromboli. We have two of them.
Oh.
Yes, Etna is the biggest in Europe in terms of active Vulcan. Then we have another one that is Stromboli, that is in the Aeolian Highlands, northeast part of Sicily. We have both in Etna and in the Aeolian Highlands two different estates. So one in the highlands, small highlands, is called Capofaro, in the highlands of Salina, and there is a really whole tradition that came from British commercial and in the past that find this kind of grape that was for a dessert wine, sweet wine, that was called Malvasia delle Lipari. The British start to commerce all these wines all around Europe, and they made all this island really rich about that. Then we move.
What was the wine called again?
Malvasia delle Lipari.
Oh, okay. Because I think of there's a Sicilian sweet wine called Panatelleria.
Pantelleria. You have another volcanic island where you produce Zibibbo. Zibibbo is like a way that you call it, the grape variety is called Moscato d'Alessandria.
Yeah.
One that is there is adapted to there is quite a different selection of that, and it's called Zibibbo.
Oh, okay. Because I've tried, I think it's called Moscato Panatelleria is the one I've tried, and it used to have a really strange taste. It tasted almost like tea, you know, cups of tea. Mm.
That you taste that the tea note that you say is when you dry the grape under the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it becomes sweet and with these tea notes that are really clear. Well done.
Yeah. Well, that's what it used to taste to me. Yeah.
And that's how the right approach to the wine. So what you remind you and try to work on the senses. So we are in wine, we talk about senses, it's sensations.
Yep.
And then so we moved to Etna. Yeah. In Etna is this volcanic place. There is a huge production, and it was really important in the 19th century. Now, then it stopped a little bit and it starts again like 30, 40 years ago in a really strong way. So
Why was that? Why did it stop and then
stop? It stopped for many different reasons. So one was economy reasons. There were attacks from all the wine that come from Etna to the continent. And so all the economy of the wine production there were in crisis. Then we have the stop during the two wars because everything stopping during the two world wide, and then was a really short replaying after the two wars, and I think in the 80s start again to have a really great boom. It's a unique, really distinctive part. It's made in by Etna appellation, and with mainly two grape varieties, one for red that is called Nerello Mascalese, and one for white that is called Carricante.
Okay.
And the nice thing is that it's a small appellation, is around 1,000 hectares at the moment, and we are more than 30 winery there. So there is an energy of a lot of people in a small piece of land that work hard to make it.
So, Etna, I presume you've got a lot of altitude to play with.
Yeah.
And the soils, are you basalt there or...?
So the soils is quite not really whole soil in terms of it's like more around 5,000 years or 2,000 years. It's depend on the eruptions. Somehow there has a really new eruption since like 500 years ago. And then the man and human adapt to that and working on the land and creating terrace and create a way to cultivate, because the volcanic soil is really give a lot of energy to the
volcanic soil is full of nutrients, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and that's
vigorous growth.
Yes, and it grows really well. Then the other thing is that there is this kind of tension that is giving from there. And the nice and beautiful thing is that place by place, eruption by eruptions, and the pyroplastic explosion make different kind of soil.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have the same wine you feel. Yes, I'm in Etna Doc. This is a good Nerello Mascalese. But you can have many different Nerello Mascalese with that is impact by the soil where it grows. And that's is the nice thing. So you feel that you are in Etna, and then one by one you can feel the difference between 100 meters and 100 meters on the same place.
Yeah, okay, so then that's very hard, because one of the things about wines is, especially wine geeks, they like to be able to taste the wine and go, okay, that's from here or that's from here. And when you've got such diversity of soils and diversity of altitudes, you're going to land up with a difficult proposition to try and say, this is Etna wines.
No, don't say that's different. That's the geography of wine. So you have to relax on that. You all. I mean, it's something that seems complex, but it's the nice things. The liquid that made is produced by grape is the only liquid that can tell you exactly where it comes from or what is behind that. It's not like a standard liquid. It's a liquid that can give you emotion and can tell you exactly who he is and where he comes from and how old is he. And that's magic. So just relax on this complexity and try to have fun with it.
I think of Etna as one of the more famous regions in Sicily. Is it more famous, or is it a better region?
I think now at the moment it's really hot. We have many famous regions inside Sicily, like Malvasia delle Lipari or Pantelleria or like Moscato di Noto or like the Grillo or Marsala area has a really long history too. So there, I think this is something that is really attractive at the moment, is really, really hot. What's make the difference in Etna, I think, is the what people say they call terroir or territory or climate. So it's the interaction between the grape varieties, the place, the soil, and the human there. So that makes something that is really distinctive and really unique, and you can find and you can replace only there. And that's something that is really magic. And that's, once again, is part of the geography. So when you taste a wine from Etna in a blind way, it will immediately tell you, I come from Etna.
Yeah, it does.
Does.
Okay, because, yeah, all right, so I was a bit worried with all the diversity you're talking about. You could do that and say, oh, I know where that is, or with someone like my skills, who's, I've got a reasonable palate, but I don't know Etna that well. Does it take a long time to learn those?
No, it's not. Just do this exercise, and you will see that you will have fun. Try to taste always in a blind way. Mm. So not be influenced by what it is and what kind of palate. And try to work on your senses. So what do you feel? And then go back to the label and try to register where it come from, what it was. When you do this exercise few times, then you start to recognize the difference. Because when you are not influencing and you are concentrating on your sense, you feel something.
Yeah.
And then after that, your brain will combine all this kind of combination together and will tell you something more about wine. So it's an easy approach. It's the only thing is start to do it.
Okay. What about the coastal regions?
Yes.
Because I imagine, A, you've probably got a little bit more wind, a little bit more cloud cover, and usually on the coast, a little bit more moderate climate. Mm-hmm. Is that the case for you guys?
Yes. So it's depend even there. So you have in the coast. So from Etna, we have altitude and we have a particular climate. We have also snow quite all the years because it goes up to 300,000 meters. Then you jump down in the center of Sicily, that where the climate is more continental. So you have not influenced by the sea. You have more fresh wind, more different between night and day, fresh climate, even snow in winter time, so it's a particular climate. Then you go through the coast where the sea mitigate the temperature between night and day, and you have a lot of windy because you are the influence of the Mediterranean sea wind, and that's often that impact in the wines. So then if you go in the southern part, like in Pantelleria, as you mentioned, all the vines grow up really close to the soil, really. You have to, like in a wall, to protect them for the wind. The wind is so strong. The wind coming from south is so warm and things, and they adapt really well. So vines has the capacity to adapt on the climate and give you the best as that you can. And then from the Regaliale in the center, we move even close to Palermo. That is in an area that is not close to the sea, but not in continental, so it's a mix of it, and it's really adapt for the Syrah production. Then we move to Mozia. Mozia is a Phoenician island close to Marsala, where there was a salty production. It's really full of cultural and architectural issue, because the Phoenician was a really strong a population of Phoenicians for many years in that place. And that area is in this small island that is around 30-40 hectares. We have we cultivate around 15 hectares of Grillo grapes, and the Grillo grow in a bush way. They are on the sea level, and the impact of the climate is quite different too. So as you can see, we just flying in five different states, we have five different conditions and different wines and different grapes and all many combination that makes you this complexity.
The other thing is you've got a vineyard in what looks like the tiniest island. I think it's called...
Mozia.
No, it started with...
Salina.
Salina. I looked on the map, it was like 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers. You cannot not be on the coast with that one. And that looked... absolutely tiny. You've got about 6 hectares there, I think, haven't you?
Yeah. And we work even more, and now we are according to producing another island that is called Vulcano. It's a volcanic island, so the Eolia Highlands. Salinas based in the Eolia Highlands.
Cause it's just north of Sicily.
Northeast of Sicily.
Yeah.
7 volcanic islands. One of them is still active, but it's called Stromboli.
Okay.
And all the others are close to one to each other by 12 miles or 18 miles, but I mean really close and really diverse. In this island that's called Salina, there was a huge tradition for the production of Malvasia delle Lipari.
Yeah.
Malvasia is a grape variety, and the tradition went to produce sweet wine there, so they used to dry to dry the grape varieties under the sun, then press it and have sweet wine. And now the production is both sweet and dry wine, and it is so unique in terms of taste and flavors.
Still Malvasia, though.
Yes, Malvasia.
Yeah, because Malvasia is, I think of it almost as an aromatic wine.
Yes, it's aromatic with personality, but really delicate. So when you get in an aromatic wine side, so you can find really strong aroma, strong persistence, and really soft aroma. And that's the case of Malvasia. It's really delicate, and it's not really an impact of strong aromatic.
Okay. All right then, Alberto. I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.